Phoenix FM.
And now I'm joined on the line by Sun Walker, aka Andy Richardson, to talk about his music, including his brand new release, Universe, which I've been loving on the show. His new album was released on the 28th of January, The Power Inside, and it's the follow-up to the critically acclaimed 2016 album, Energize. So are you there?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Yes, I am here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you absolutely fine. Andy, I do apologise, but I'm normally quite good with my Zoom calls, and I was sitting here pressing every button that I possibly could and making swear words.
That's fine. I mean, I'm not looking my best today anyway, so I'm sort of glad it's audio only.
But it's great to have you on the line. Been really loving the track Universe since I've got it in from the label. So if we go back to when you first got started in music, who was the artist that you heard at a young age that really inspired you to be a musician?
Well, a couple. I mean, because I'm a bass player, and I guess you remember, well, of course you do. I mean, you know the band Level 42?
Yes.
So I was a massive Level 42 fan, and, you know, and I didn't really know what the bass was. And then I saw him sort of, he wasn't like a normal guitar. It was slightly longer, and it was like the notes were lower, and he was hitting it with his thumb. And I was thinking, wow, that's a really good, like, instrument. And so I said to my mum and dad, I said, oh, do you know what? I really want to play the bass. And they were like, well, why don't you play the guitar? Everyone plays the guitar. You know, I'm like, no, the bass. And so I actually saved up money from doing paper rounds and things like that. And I bought a bass. I mean, I was about 15. I wasn't really young, but it was about 15. I got my own bass and I haven't looked back since. I mean, and then I guess influence wise, I suppose what, like a lot of people say that are into sort of funk and soul, Prince that sort of stands up head and shoulders above everyone else for me, really.
Yeah, and you are actually a multi-instrumentalist as well, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm honest, the bass I play really well. You know, I've done a music degree. You know, I can play jazz. I can do all that. You know, I'm definitely a very good bass player. When it comes to all the other instruments, you know, what I do is I call myself like a functional pianist and a functional guitarist and a functional saxophone player, a functional ukulele player and a functional drummer. You know, yep. I've learned enough so I can use it on my, you know, on my tracks. And if I need to get like a proper instrumentalist in, someone to do like an amazing solo and that, then I know loads of musicians and I get them in. But for writing and for layers and all that, I do most of it myself. Yeah.
You're from Essex, and you said before that Essex gets a bad rap across the rest of the country. I don't know why, because the musicianship in Essex is incredible. There's so much talent out there. So what are your feelings?
Well, I think, you know, Essex, obviously I'm from Essex. It holds a really dear place in my heart. I think Essex, When I was growing up in the sort of 80s, there was a real soul and funk scene there. There was loads of DJs. There was soul and funk nights all over the place. Mm. Before that, in the 70s, there was a blues sort of explosion, you know, Dr. Feelgood, things like that. You know, Essex has got a real musical heritage. Regarding the sort of bad rap, I think basically the proximity of Essex to London is part of the problem, because there's a lot of sort of, you know, London obviously leads the way in terms of setting the agenda with culture and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people from Essex commuted into London to work. And so I just think it's because it's so close to London that they were sort of picked on as being sort of slightly different and that, you know. But you'll find people from all the sort of surrounding counties, Kent and Surrey and that, you know, we all share. We're not that different to each other, really, you know. So I think basically we were just victims of just location, really.
Yeah, I'm proud to be from Essex. There we go.
Good.
How do you start the songwriting process? You said that you learnt on the bass. So do you get a bass line down? Do you get a drum loop going? How does it work?
So what I normally do, I start off with a drum loop. It used to be years ago that I would just sort of play a bass groove over it, but now it's more keyboards. I'll get a chord sequence together and then probably stick a bass line down, and with those three elements you've got the real sort of basses for a whole tune, really. And then I'll maybe sort an arrangement out, you know, verse, mid, eight chorus or whatever, and then write around that. And then when it comes to sort of lyrics, I tend to sort of write about whatever's sort of bugging me at that point in my life, really, you know. So this last album that I've done, the latest one, came at the end of a lot of sort of mental health work. I've had like sort of anxiety and panic attacks for a lot of my life, and a lot of this album is about my sort of organic sort of searching to get that out of my life and sort of live a sort of healthier, more stress-free life, really. So I wanted it to be positive and, you know, give people the sort of a bit of an empowerment, really, hence the title. So my songwriting process is normally drum loop, keyboards and bass, and then I write over the top of it.
And you do the whole thing. So you do, you're singing, you're writing, and do you produce as well? So the whole thing is your baby, basically.
Yeah, I produce as well. This album is the first album that I've got someone else to mix it.
Yeah.
So even though I produce it, you know, I record it all and piece it all together and I engineer it, I've got someone else to do the mix down, just because I just felt that, especially because I was doing this over such a long time, you know, I was sort of, you know, there's so many tracks that I've sort of thrown aside because I wasn't happy with them, and I did it over such a long period. You know, I was doing a music degree throughout the time I was making this album. I was working as well, and then of course we had the pandemic, and I just felt like I needed some external ears, and I would recommend that to anyone. Even if you think you're the most amazing mixer or producer, you know, try and if you can, if you've got the budget for it, get someone else to do it, because you know, and of course he would send stuff back and I would say no, I like this way, and more bass here, and you know,
yeah,
more vocals here, and it was a collaborative process. But actually sending it out to an external pair of ears is priceless, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You've collaborated with some amazing artists. Who's playing with you on this album, The Power Inside?
Yeah, well, so on the previous album, I got loads of guest singers in, I'm doing the sort of lead vocals for all the songs on this album.
Yeah.
Partly because for sort of economic reasons. Like the last album, I only did one gig for it because I got all the guest singers in, and I had to pay over $1,000 in just sort of, you know, paying people to come down and do the gig.
Yeah.
And I just thought, maybe it's better if I'm, you know, if I do it all myself.
Yeah.
And partly because I just wanted to sort of experiment with my voice a bit more. But, you know, but having said that, in terms of the instrumentation, I've got some great people in. I've got the drummer from Incognito, who's an old friend of mine, Francesco Mendelia.
Yeah.
So he plays live drums on three of the tracks. I've got Katie Leone, who's in Incognito and who I've worked with for many years. She now calls herself Solace in the Sky, so check her out. She's done a vocal arrangement and backing vocals on one of the tracks. I've got the horn section in from Mumford and Sons and Robbie Williams, a couple of those sort of members to come down and do a couple of horn arrangements for me, so that's really good. A couple of really good guitarists, Max O'Donnell, who plays with Sister Sledge and P-Bug and Tony Monreal and all people like that. He plays guitar on quite a few of the tracks. So some real class musicians on the album.
With Universe, who's the female vocal at the end of that? Because that's a lovely little vocal.
Yeah, her name's Sanna Akani. She's from Sweden. She was on my music degree, and she's fabulous. She, you know, we worked sort of remotely together, and I basically, that track, in particular, The Universe, there's a sort of Rolling Stones influence, a sort of Primal Scream influence, you know, Screamadelica, Moving On Up, you know, I wanted it to be something like that. And both those tracks, there's a sort of quite powerful gospel singer, and I just thought, it would be good to get someone and do a little bit of a sort of a flex, should we say, at the end of the song. So, yeah, she's fantastic. I sent it to her. She sent the stuff back, and I was like, wow. I mean, you know, there was no tweaks. There was no, can you do this again? It was just, yep, I'll add some of that. And, yeah, and it's on the album. Obviously, like most people, I've got a sort of love-hate relationship with Zoom and that. You know, it's like, you know, remember too. All those sort of Zoom birthdays and things like that. You know, you do one or two, and it's a bit of a, you know, it's a new thing. Yeah. And then, you know, you get to about the sort of 10th one, and you think, I can't stand this. You know, you crave that human connection. And, of course, it's always better to be in the same room as someone. But, yeah, it's allowed me to... You know, everyone's sort of setting up their home studios now. The cost of musical equipment and studios has gone right down. Yeah. So, you know, rather than go into like Air Studios or Rack and pay, you know, thousands of pounds, you know, I could just say to someone like Francisco, oh, you know, record the drums. He's got his own set, his microphone, his own setup at home. Mm. You just send them off to me, you know. And of course, and like with Max on the guitar, you know, we just sat on Zoom. He just played a bit, and I'd say, oh, no, I don't really, you know, can we just change that and tweaked it a bit live, you know, and just did it there and then. So, yeah, it's fantastic, really. But, yeah, like I say, human connection's always the best, really.
Yeah, just imagine you sitting there not singing Happy Birthday with no party hat. pretty unfriendly. No, I'm kidding. With playing live, because obviously loads of musicians haven't been able to go out and play live, are you going to be gigging this album, or are you going to do one massive gig, or is that something for later in the year?
Yeah, so my idea is to do an album launch, even though the album's already out. Yep. I've got a great band, I've got great musicians. The thing with me is at the end of last year, I had a double hernia surgery. And before that, I had terrible sort of IBS problems with that. And even though I'm out and about, I'm working, you know, I'm playing a gig tomorrow night. I'm doing like a jazz gig. I am going to wait until I feel sort of like 100% sort of fit and ready. Because when I perform my own stuff live, I'm very, very energetic. It's a big show. It's a big performance. And I just don't want to be thinking about, you know, my digestive system when I'm on stage. So I'm going to give it a couple more months and then really go for it. I know it's sort of kicking it out into the long grass a little bit. And I'm desperate to get out and do some gigs for sure. And I'm desperate to, you know, like play with other people as well, you know, do some session work, because I do a little bit of session bass playing and stuff like that, you know. So but for my own stuff, I'm just going to leave it a little while, you know, maybe a month or so, and then for sure I want to get out there and
get on stage.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. It's where I feel most at home.
So with the album The Power Inside, give us a description of the album.
I guess, you know, it's very upbeat. It's very positive. It's quite sort of fun. There are a few tracks that are a little bit sort of, critical, you know, but a little bit sort of barbed, you know, because I like to sort of look at society and comment a little bit on society, not get like overtly political, but, you know, like, so there's a song on there about trolls, internet trolls, and There's another one, Plastic People, which is about, you know, people sort of in power who sort of put on a persona, but underneath they're very different. But overall, it's a very positive album. I guess if you want to talk about genres, it's very funky. There's sort of housey element to it. There's a little bit of a soul-y element to it. And an electro element as well. You know, there's some real sort of electro bass lines, a little bit disco-y. You know, I'd like to think you can sort of put it on and dance around the kitchen or wherever you like to do your dancing, really. Yeah. You know, so that's the general vibe, you know, sort of upbeat, funky and positive.
That's me. That's what I love, being in the kitchen dancing. I don't know why. Yes. It's a thing now, isn't it? It never used to be. I've sort of moved from the lounge into the kitchen. How did you come up with your name, Sunwalker? Because that is a really cool name.
Oh, well, I'm glad you like it. well, you know, I think what it was, I was watching, do you remember Blade?
Yes.
The film with Wesley Snipes. There was, they call him Daywalker. And I think I was, you know, maybe there was a bit of the sort of Star Wars thing, you know, Luke Skywalker. And I just, I love the sun, and I love, you know, the connotations of what the sun is about. And so I just put them together. But then I found out there's a World of Warcraft character called Sunwalker. So I was a bit disappointed with that, but I thought I'd stick with it anyway.
Yeah.
And wait until World of Warcraft come and sue me later on down the line. They haven't done that yet. So, so fingers crossed I've got away with it, really. There is another Sunwalker artist out there that puts this sort of weird ambient music out. And I think Spotify and a few websites have got confused and think that I've done all of it. But no, you know, I'm the funky Sunwalker.
You'll have to add that to the front.
Put it in brackets.
Yeah.
Sunwalker, the funky one.
So if people want to find out more about you, whereabouts have you got your website? You're on Spotify, iTunes.
Yeah, I'm on Spotify. You can buy the album on Bandcamp. You can go to Splash Music Productions, which is our record label, the lovely Julian and David, who run that.
Yep.
And you can go to sunwalker.co.uk and check out the you can see all my videos, because I make quite a lot of videos as well, so you can see them there. And you can go to my Instagram, add me on there, sunwalker.uk. I think that's about it.
And just to say, as you heard there, putting together music, and I always say this at the end of these views, for people to get fed up with hearing it, but it makes so much difference if you buy your music, because otherwise people can't afford to go into the studio and create wonderful music if they're not earning a living. So it's getting back out there now. Go and see the live bands, support your artists if you like them, because you spending, you know, a tenner on buying somebody's album means that there's money there to create more.
Let me say, listeners, if you don't buy this album, I will die of hunger. So I don't want to make you feel guilty or anything. No, of course, please buy the album. You know, Spotify serves a purpose, but doesn't really pay the artist very much.
No.
So, please go out and buy it and support all your, anyone, anything you're into, because it makes a huge difference to all of us. Can I just say, I heard your sea shanty this morning. I had a quick look on your site, so are you gonna sing that for the listeners at some point today?
No, I'm not. That, look at some of the other stuff I do. The sea shanty was my little joke from last year, and the sea shanty I can't say on air, but it was about my friend who went on Tinder dating, and a photograph that she was requested to send along to the person she was thinking about dating. True story.
Yeah, it's a terrible world out there. On behalf of the male side of the population, I do apologise.
There we go, Mrs. G, if you're listening out there. Oh, I've just named her. Oh dear, she won't be happy. So we're going to finish the interview. It's been great chatting to you. Sorry about the Zoom and the technical issue I had. But we're going to finish with the track that I've been playing out for the last week. I think this is brilliant. It's a great track. It's called The Universe. This is Sunwalker. And hopefully we'll speak to you again when you've got the next release coming out.
Fantastic. All right. Well, nice speaking to you, Michelle. Yep.
Speak
to you later.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. That is Sunwalker there. And this track is The Universe. And it's out now. Don't forget the album, The Power Inside, came out in January, just at the end of January. And if you want to find out more, check out sunwalker.co.uk, and you'll find him all over socials.